Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. Jackie Cation here in my garage. That's right, Rangers of the Dork Forest, a glamorous lady with a garage. Welcome to the Dork Forest. This week's guest is Jen Kober. I don't know that Jen Kober's ever been on the show in the 18 years that we've been doing the show.
I don't think I have. I listen.
That's insane.
But I don't think I've
you've
ever
heard,
been on.
You've yes. heard some shows. Sure. Yes. There's 1,000. I appreciate the Rangers so much. They're doing me right these days. Always have, actually. But
I love that you have a name for them. That makes me the happiest.
I know. It's always fun. I want one for the Jackie and Laurie people, but people who appreciate jackassery, that doesn't run off the tongue.
The Jackassarians, yes.
Because my name's Jackie. And, okay. The Jackalorians? Fuck it. Here's my thing, Jen Kober.
Jackalaureates. I like
oh,
that
the Jackalaureates. Well, there you go. It seems educational.
Yeah.
Jen Kober. Kober is spelled K-O-B-E-R.
Yes.
And it's pronounced Jen Kober. And that is where, and that's jenkober.com, and it's at Jen Kober. You're in the Netflix is a Joke festival this week, doing the 5th and the 9th. The 9th is still open. And people should go to West Side Theater's website so they can be directed back to Netflix as a Joke's website. Or they can probably go to your website, jenkober.com.
Yes, and they can. I got a direct link. You can cut out the middleman.
Just go direct. Do not pass go. And so this will come up. I'm just coming back from Seattle. So everyone feel free to email me and go, you were in Seattle? Oh, when are you coming back? Well, next year, my friends.
That is what always happens, isn't it?
It is. It's a little maddening, but only maddening because I feel like I'm posting so much about my
I am too.
Promo
I'm constantly
stuff.
I will go back after a show and delete some of the posts where I was promoting that show because I don't want people to think I'm an obsessive freak. But at the time, I needed to post every 4 hours to tell you, hey friends, I'm looking at the ticket numbers. I need that. Paid today, go buy some tickets.
Mm-hmm. Go buy. Oh, I know you got paid today. I like that as a pitch.
Well, you
here
can
we
do
go.
That on the 15th and the 30th. You can be like,
that's
it. It's payday. Let's do this.
Exactly. I want to talk about the thing that you want to talk about because I enjoy the thing that you like.
Oh.
Your dorkdom is Wonder Woman.
Yes, it is.
It's OG Wonder Woman, Lindy Carter.
Well, because here's the thing. As a little girl, no one exposed me to comic books. So I didn't realize she was a comic book character. In my head, she was this TV woman. And
TV
it was
lady,
always
yeah.
Linda Carter. And And, you know, I had no idea the sort of genesis of where Wonder Woman, all the Amazonian stuff, wrecked, whatever. Like, I saw what they did on the TV show where Deborah Winger was her little sister. And, like, they came weird. From this island of all women that I thought. And I think that was the first time I ever got the idea, like, oh, we don't need these boys at all.
Right. And, you're done.
And I got that at a very young age. I mean, probably 6 or 7. And I went to an all-girls school. So in my head, boys were literally moot.
Extremes.
They were not superfluous. They were just not necessary. Some of them were nice to look at, and some of them had good things to say, but not a lot of them. They just, and, in my head, they just smelled.
And, well, boys smell, and girls smell like flowers. What? No, I live in the 1800s. No, everyone smelled like manure in the 1800s, you guys. Think about it. So you saw, I mean, there were very few, like, strong women characters
for us to get into. Nobody. This is the lesbian fantasy. You either were watching Wonder Woman, Linda Carter as Wonder Woman, or Jodie Foster in Candleshoe, right?
Candleshoe.
Wait, what was it called?
I forget. Here's my thing about Jodie Foster. I think she was in, like, Taxi, but who was in Bad News Bears?
She was in Taxi Driver, not Taxi. Taxi was the TV show with Danny DeVito and Judd
Hirsch. Over here.
But she was in Taxi Driver, and Kinnicky, and Mary Lou Henner, who I saw at the concert where I saw Linda Carter. Bing, we've come full circle.
Full circle, bringing us back. You were at a concert where you saw Linda Carter
sings, which I did not know. And I got an email. I'm on the email list for the Catalina Jazz Club because I enjoy a nice jazz show. It's a nice place to take a lady on a date. It's not like let's go listen to some jazz. Let's go. And they have drinks and chichi little food. And it's the most lovely place. And so I got on their email list when someone turned me on to it. And they sent me an email that said, Linda Carter is coming to do a show. And after I picked myself up off the floor because I lost my shit, I was like, oh, my God, I have to get tickets to this. And tickets were $80. And I was like, I'm done. So I bought 2 tickets. I had no idea who I was going to bring with me. I didn't care. Truthfully, I'll take up 2 seats and just eat a lot of food and be like, she's in the bathroom.
She's parking. And she had a hard time parking.
Yeah. And then just
we're an island. We ride around on golf carts.
That's right.
So wait, you had to also take
in the audience was Mary Lou Henner and Leslie Ann Warren. Also at that show.
Holy smokes.
And at
that's
that show,
a heck of a lineup. Yeah.
I got so excited, Jackie Cation. I was so excited that after she finished singing Somebody to Love, I scream, do the spin. And she did.
She spun for us. Let me tell you something. You know what that is? A good sport. That is someone who realizes that she's moved on. She sings. She gets to perform. She has other outlets. But she knows, to some extent, what people want, you know?
I don't even know what came over me. I'm not that person. As a comedian, I would never
heckle
someone, but it just came over me. I couldn't, it felt like she was looking right at me when she sang that song. And so I was like, oh, you know what I miss? You know how when she would do that spin, there was a focal point clearly where her eyes were like hitting every time she spun. And her eyes kept coming back to that point. And as a little girl, I just remember thinking like, is she looking at me? Like, it felt like she was looking at me through the TV. And of course that fed all of my fantasies. And that made me I lived in those underoos. You remember Wonder Woman underoos? You had some of those, didn't you?
I didn't. No, we were never allowed any joy. But other than that, socks and underwear were a very, very, like, we're just going to get you socks and underwear.
God. I lived in these things. My mother got
such a good idea.
$11 out of this set of underwear.
Like, exactly, right? You're just like, I will be wearing this.
1 year for Halloween, I wore it over my red sweats as my
costume.
There
you go. That's what I wanted to know. Halloween. How'd that come over? And yeah, because the thing is, and there, how many seasons are there? Like 5 seasons, right?
Yes. And then the first two, they are in pre-World War II. No, in World War II is happening. It is. She is, Wonder Woman is literally saving us from Nazis. Where is she today? We need you.
Right, right. Oh my God. I had a horrible, I had a very powerful drink where I was, cause you know, I don't drink,
right?
But I literally was at the bar and I was like, I'd like a dead Nazi, a double. And a dead Nazi is two shots of Rumpelmintz and two shots of Jägermeister in one tumbler. And you know what that is? That's a lot of booze. Wow. That'll check you out. That'll make you not care about Nazis real quick.
You know what's funny? My dad's whole side of the family is first generation Germans. Like they came over from Germany and settled in Louisiana for some reason. And my grandfather, when I this is why my shot of choice is Jägermeister. I like the flavor of it, even though I do not
like
licorice.
You like black licorice. You don't like black licorice.
I don't like black licorice, but I love Jägermeister. When I was a little girl, if I got an upset tummy because my grandfather was German, he'd give me a tablespoon of Jäger. And it would. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. It's very comforting to me. So it's when you're like, let's do shots, I'm like, Jäger. And then I chase it with a Diet Coke and I'm happier than I've ever been.
When I was a kid, my grandmother, whenever I'd have a cold, she would give us a tablespoon of peppermint schnapps, which is why I love Rumpelmintz.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I never thought to put the two together. I mean,
oh yeah, it's a German ancestry shot in the dark. I kind of want to watch the first two seasons if they're doing. I'm slightly obsessed with the World Wars because we're stumbling into the next one, and I thought at least they ended, huh?
I know. So right. a couple of them ended quick.
But, and we were the good and the good guys won, for the most part. Even though the deeper dive you take into it, you get to see some real liberties that were taken because it is a wartime. So people can get away with some shit. I just finished reading a nonfiction book about the creation of the special forces. During World War II, the British created them.
I'm about to tell you something that you're probably the only person I could tell that would understand. Mm. My great uncle, so my grandfather's brother, was a Richie boy.
No. Your dad's side? Mom's?
Yeah. Yeah. The Richie boys they had already come to the United States, and the United States government made this like special force that they called the Richie boys because they trained them at Camp Ritchie.
Oh, I see.
And it was all these very incredibly intelligent Germans who had immigrated to the United States, who were now United States citizens, but they used them and trained them to be intelligence forces in the war to figure out how to properly communicate with the German people.
Sort of propaganda or talk to them about what was happening?
Like one of the things my uncle told me that one of the things they told the Americans was, because this all literally just got declassified like in 2020, I think. Like it had to be many years. But one of the things was that in Germany, if you have a government stamp on something, they take that very seriously.
Sure, they're very sincere, rule following people.
Yes, yes. And so he suggested to them that if they dropped propaganda, because they were trying to tell the German people what was really happening, right? Because there were no cell phones, there was no TikTok. We were dealing with pieces of paper being dropped from the sky as like a message system. And so they told the Americans, whatever you put on there, put a government stamp on it, and they will believe you.
Right.
It's something they take very right. So just cultural differences because they spoke fluent German and, you know, they were just able to communicate with the people and get information and knew where to go and what to do, whatever. But they were working for the American forces.
Government.
And so it was – and it all
– And your great uncle was one of those guys.
Yes. But we never – he told us he was getting honored in some – like in a ceremony in D.C. And my dad was like, oh, I can't get off work that quickly. And I was – filming something like none of us could be, but he didn't tell us what it was. He was the conductor of the Chicago chamber orchestra. So we assumed he was getting some, you know,
some sort of musical thing.
Music award or something, you know.
Yeah.
And it turns out they were honoring the Ritchie Boys that were still alive. There's only like four of them.
What year was
only
that?
One still alive now. That was like 2019. It was right before the pandemic.
Right.
And since then he has passed away. A 2020 episode was about this. And so, they've written a book, and he's mentioned in the book, and they talk about all, and everybody that's in the book, all these, I think there were 12 of them. They've all gone, like he became a conductor of an orchestra. One of them like invented the part in the artificial heart that like they've all done, like you can tell that they picked people that must have just been off the charts. They must have gone by some sort of IQ test or something. Like,
well, I'm sure they had to like check and make sure that they were, that they weren't sort of sympathizers. And then they had to make sure that they were smart enough to do stuff like that.
They were all Jews. So I think it was going to be safe that they weren't sympathizers. I mean, I could be wrong.
I looked up, I think you are wrong, but many of them were Jews. According to the Wikipedia, ladies and gentlemen, the Ritchie Boys, a special collection of, you're going to want a second source on this. as always, much like when you write a paper in high school, Wikipedia cannot be your only source.
Yes.
So military intelligence service officers, they were an enlisted men of World War II, used primarily for interrogation of prisoners on the front and counterintelligence in Europe because of their knowledge of the German language and culture.
Yes.
Trained at Camp Ritchie in Maryland, 22,000 servicemen and women were German-speaking immigrants to the United States, often Jews who fled Nazi persecution. In addition to interrogation and counterintelligence, they were also trained in psychological warfare in order to study and demoralize the enemy, and served as prosecutors and translators at Nuremberg. So I wonder if your uncle was at Nuremberg.
We never talked about his involvement in the war.
Right, because of the secrecy.
He signed everything. I'm sure. Yeah. He was such a weird guy. Like, you know, he's a musician, so he's an artist, so he has that kind of brain. And then like on top of that, like in his apartment, he lived in Chicago, and in his apartment there were like sculptures of naked men laying around, even though he was always with women. But I don't know. This guy, he was like I'd be like, Mom, there's a picture of a penis in the bathroom. My mother would be like, yes, Uncle Dieter is eclectic. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's eclectic.
They just didn't, nobody like talked about, you know.
Nobody knew about German porn at the time.
Right. What he was just like his own person, and he just expressed himself in all ways, however he went. And I couldn't grasp that because my grandfather, his brother, was Colonel Klink from he was very, very German, but I mean, not a Nazi, but I mean,
super straight,
right, like very German, very Jewish, very conservative. Like, I remember my grandmother, every time she bought us anything, was like, don't tell your grandfather. Like, he'd see us playing with something. He'd be like, where'd you get that? And we'd be like, and that's how I learned to lie.
Right.
Like, right. That's when I became an actor.
I'm so glad you didn't show him your underoos over your sweatpants. Because he would have been like, what do we have time for fancy? Yeah. We have time for hobby underwear? What's happening here?
Yes. It's,
yeah.
He did watch a lot of Wonder Woman with me, though. Like, he enjoyed that as a program because I guess it had some sort of historical.
Well, he probably read the comics, which came out
easily,
in World War I. I don't know if you've seen A League of Their Own, the TV show.
Of course I have. do you know how many times I kicked myself? How did I not get an audition for that fucking show?
I know.
When I see that girl that played the Rosie O'Donnell part, I don't know her name.
Okay.
But I'm like, that is what I looked like at that age. I couldn't have played that part. It called for an athleticism I just do not possess anymore. But every time I see her in something, people have sent me things she's done and been like, is this you? I'm like, no. Don't you think if I was doing that, I'd have told you? Don't you think you'd have seen that splashed on something, right? I'm in A League of Their Own, you know.
Right.
Yes, I adore that show.
My mother-in-law Yes. My mother-in-law loved that movie so much.
Of course.
And
Gina
and
Davis, so, Lori Petty, What's Not to Love?
Right, right, right. What's Not to Love? We watched Fried Green Tomatoes the other night. Actually, quite honestly,
we did
one of the
too.
World's most perfect films.
So it's, good. It's,
to compare it to people who aren't women, think Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Because Fried Green Tomatoes doesn't have a bad scene in it. Every scene in it has a point. It's tight. It's and then the movie's over and you saw something
so
that was
good.
Amazing.
It's
so it was so,
so
good.
Good.
Yeah. And it and it's not just Kathy Bates, even though Kathy Bates is amazing in it.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
So but I will say this is that the League of Their Own, the artist kid, the artist girl who's friends with the black baseball player, she's talking about the first Wonder Woman comics and how they weren't
right.
That they the arc wasn't smart and they didn't play it through and they didn't give her enough to do and she was on like two pages on the very end and you're like, you said it was a Wonder Woman comic. Why are there two pages of this lady?
Yeah.
And yeah. So we've only seen the first two or three episodes, but Chris is on board.
No, I went and got back into the comic books later.
Right.
As an adult and like so many artists have done it, right? Like there's some
right,
I can't look at.
No. Some of the runs are terrible. That's one of the problems is that sometimes the arcs are not good. And it's not to belittle anybody's work just because, you know, I'm psyched that anybody's writing it and keeping it alive. But like the new arc, it's the first issue, by the way. It's a guy named Tom King who is writing it.
Okay.
And he's doing an amazing job because the Amazons are, they're in trouble. They're being rounded up. It's a real X-Men kind of sitch.
See, mine isn't even really about the story. There's some of the artists I can't look at. I can't look at their
like art.
I love John Byrne. I love his version of the B-Y-R-N-E.
Is that early?
No, it's 2000s, I think. Maybe late 90s.
Okay.
But his rendering of her is just, to me, the best one. And then they started softening her features and right. Like he drew her to me the strongest.
Oh, right. She looks like, you know what she looks like? She looks like she's related to Conan.
Yeah. She looks like a badass.
She's a badass. She's going to take
tattoo of her on my arm of his that he, that's
oh,
his.
Oh, that version. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
His
yeah. She's, these are amazing.
I wonder.
And here's the crazy thing is that I got into comic books late and I got into comic books when the writers were more important than the artists.
Yeah.
Or there was more talk about the writers than the artists. Because previously for 40 years, it's been all the art.
Yeah.
And then the 20 years I've been reading it, it's all the writers. And I do love the writing. The writing is amazing. I'm a wordsmith, Jen Cover.
I know you are. And I love that about you. Sometimes, Jackie Cation, when I see you performing, I literally am like, these people do not deserve you. They are not getting it. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you're so fucking smart. You're so smart. And I see what you're doing and I'm like, oh, that was so brilliant. And it gets a laugh, but I'm like, why aren't you people on your feet? Do you know what she just did? Oh. You know, and
I know. Because the thing is, I aspire to accessibility as well, but it does, sometimes I love that you said that and I want to be that. And that is so cool. But it's like, it reminds me, and this is some hubris right here, comparing myself to Tina Fey. But Tina Fey was, you know, the 30 Rock.
Right.
I read her book, and in the book it said, she said, I know people, the fans of 30 Rock are so wonderful and so glorious, and they love it so much. I just want to tell you, we were trying to write Friends, and we failed. But we did. It was still successful. It was still very, very, and it was so wonderful. 30 Rock is fucking smart, so hilarious.
Good. And, so good. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes. But so I appreciate that. And, but know also that I'm also trying to write friends. So, but I can't write friends. You can only write what you write.
You have those pieces. All the stuff about your dad is very relatable to everyone.
Oh,
all
super stuff, accessible. You know, people
just
love that.
And you're a Midwest girl ultimately, like, you know, and when you said the other day, I am married to a man, that's the big reveal. I thought I was going to pee myself. And my girlfriend was like, oh my God, she was giving me lesbian energy. And when she said that, I laughed because I did. That's what I thought. And I'd go, yeah, right. That's why it's funny. I mean, it's,
you know, it's so interesting about, you know, because it's all so fluid now and everybody, and so many people are bi and so many people are tri and poly and all these things. Uh-huh. And I have always just dressed in my brother's cast-offs, and I've always been treated like a person. So I think of myself as a person first, and then as a woman, and then as a sexual woman. So I tend
It's third.
Ooh, look at this. It'll do that.
Oh
my God, that's insane. Yeah. When did Riverside start putting in emojis? I never does. I've never been able to make any of those emojis work. You guys got to watch the YouTube.
Yeah.
I'll say this.
I have always, you know, I mean, I was always in love with girls from watching of the Wonder Woman, from hanging on Jodie Foster's every word. And P.S., not even knowing that's what it was. I can only identify that now as, like, I was in love with every pretty teacher I ever had. I hung out after school to, like, you know, clean erasers and sweep up the classroom for her. Like, I was this little masked lesbian always.
And you always liked girls.
And I have, my mother had me in long hair and dresses a long flipping time. And still I knew I was this little boyish girl, but there was no time in which I wanted to be a boy because I always saw them as completely inferior. Right.
Wow.
I was like, even if like the sentence may have come like, oh, I wish I was a boy. It was because I saw how many advantages they had and how they just didn't have to go through this bullshit that I'm having to go through. But that wasn't a wish to be a boy, right?
I don't think that I'm a boy or a man.
No, but I get asked a lot if you know, when we were kids, this bi fluid poly,
the transitioning,
this non-binary was not an option. There was no them. That was not an option.
No, I was a tomboy. That's what I was.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that, like, even now that it is an option, it's not. That's not how I feel. I don't not feel like a girl. I feel like this kind of girl. I feel like a girl who wants to wear comfortable clothes and shoes that are functional, the same way boys do. Nobody's putting a dress and heels is just not accessible. It is not comfortable. It is not functional. And I was literally reading.
Right. We all got, there's issues.
I was reading that high heels were created so that women couldn't run away. Like, someone was thinking that in a chase, how will I slow this creature down? Like,
I don't
there is
know
nothing
the-
more predatory than that to me. And so while I appreciate that there are women that enjoy wearing heels I love a woman in heels. It's not like I'm going to put my nose down at it. But knowing that, I'm like, see why I'm always in fucking sneakers? Like, leave me alone. Right.
I will say this.
This is a survivalist.
High heels were actually, as far as I know, the oldest reference I've seen to high heels was in the late 1700s, the middle 1700s, and men wore them. Very, very wealthy, fashionable men wore them, and they couldn't run either.
Yeah.
So it was just like, that's why they had an entourage with them, someone to protect the duke.
The flat
who was
heels.
Tippy.
Yeah.
Someone who was wearing a sensible shoe.
Yeah.
Who's
here with you, sir? All flat foot. That's who I brought.
Right. It's a flat foot. I wonder what that means too. Cause that's like a guy who's working the beat. Right.
Right.
And, this is so true though, because there is, I remember, I mean, if someone would have said, well, maybe, you know, because when here's an opinion out of my ass, I feel like Jerry Seinfeld, that when you turn about 10 years old is when you start getting sexualized, I think.
Sure.
And when you're 10 years old, you don't want to be sexualized. Uh-huh. You still are want to be a child. Most, I mean, this isn't true for 100%. God knows, right? But right. In my opinion, we get sexualized when we're about 10. And when we're about 10, we're like, no, no, I'm a kid. I want to be a kid and I want to be a person. And so almost every 10-year-old I know is a they, them.
Yeah.
And a lot of 10-year-old girls I know and boys want to be girls or want to be the other because they're, it looks less complicated. Everything looks less complicated.
The numbers of young adolescent girls, cis females, who are declaring themselves non-binary and or transitioning to become boys is 800% higher than it is the other way.
Girls to boys than boys to the girls.
And that's, I mean, look, that's a whole, it's a whole burrito to get into, but I will say that right. I don't think it's a coincidence that there seems to be a war on women. There's all this legislation being passed that is anti-female where we're having, I mean, these guys didn't want to wear a mask. That was too much to ask them to wear a mask. You were invading their bodies to ask mm-hmm. them wear a mask. And
right, but, so the menfolk,
but you're going to get into my ovaries? Are we serious right now?
Yeah.
Like,
right,
and so
right.
I think they are seeing that it is no, there is no advantage to being a woman. In fact, right. it is a disadvantage.
Clear and so, disadvantage.
So yeah. what the pull is to do is to pull themselves towards the center and be like, oh, I'm not that. I'm
right.
I'm
so you
this.
Can't boss me. You cannot right. boss me.
Right.
If I tell you that I'm not a girl, you can't make me do girl things.
Right.
You can't control my body because I'm not a girl.
And girl and, things right. are seen as weak things, right? I mean, right. there's the, I know someone has done this joke. I don't know who, but I don't believe I'm the first person to say this. But to call okay. someone a pussy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's a derogatory term. That means they're weak, whatever. Yep. I would dare argue that a pussy is one of the hard, I think what a pussy goes through.
Yeah.
Childbirth, a period, bleeding. I mean, just the exam you have to get every year is if you're a pussy, you're fucking strong. I would dare right. say that what you need to call them is a ball, right? Testicles right. are what are so, what
they're
a testicle you are. You
but they are
scrotum.
Very vulnerable.
They're very vulnerable.
Right.
I feel like somebody's done this bit and I don't
yes,
want to claim this.
I've heard the premise.
This
doesn't mean you can't go
be.
There, sister. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that like I feel like that's it's meant to be derogatory. It's meant to call you this girly thing, right? And
right.
James Adomian
right.
does an amazing bit where he talks about how gay men are really stronger men. Because a guy that can take a dick up the ass is
right.
now you're a man. That's
right.
a man.
Right.
Right?
That's
you need
right.
to have sex with a soft little vagina. That's it. Like, that's it's a brilliant bit. And he words it better. I mean, he's hilarious.
And let me tell you something about my vagina. Nobody needs to know this, but it's pretty powerful. I can rip your dick
yes,
off with my vagina.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I've got
I've said that out loud.
Mine is my girl is strong. My lady is
right.
So she has
but
teeth.
Right. So when I think about Wonder Woman and I think about Bionic Woman.
Yeah, Bionic
about,
Woman was another one. Yeah.
Right. And I think about even Tatum O'Neill, that's who I was trying to remember in Bad News Bears.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because she wasn't Jodie Foster. She reminded me a lot because I think Tatum O'Neill was
she
also
she might
a
as
paper.
Well have been. She was in that right. one with Christy McNichol, and we all know what Christy McNichol was. I mean, so didn't Christy McNichol and Tatum O'Neill do a lot of, they did yeah. a movie together about
they
a summer
have.
Camp, didn't they? Am I amalgamating
Probably.
This? I feel like
well,
I could just
the
be
thing is there were
ass.
Only six powerful women in the 70s.
Yeah.
And Jane Fonda took, she turned
so
it into,
good.
Oh, she's oh. so good.
God.
And she just, what I liked about her was that when she was 25, she had zero fucks.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, never I know, gave a fuck. I know got, old
how
men.
Many times has that bitch been canceled and come back? Right. Oh my right. God.
There are old men that are still mad at her about Vietnam.
I know.
And you're like, let it go. Let it go, brother.
Yeah.
It's you know what?
Turns I'm out still she mad was about right, just for the record. Like, right. I feel like we've established that.
I'm still mad about Vietnam too. You know who else is still mad about Vietnam? The Vietnamese.
Vietnam. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They're also not excited about it. So, but Bionic Woman, I remember seeing Bionic Woman and she ripped the phone book in half.
Oh,
in an episode.
How many times did
like,
you try to do that?
So, but I'm just like, I would like to be super strong.
Yeah.
And nobody, and I could run fast and nobody could get me.
And we, and, how long did we have to wait between Bionic Woman and Wonder Woman shape until Xena Warrior Princess came along? Cause that was the next lesbian we got. That was a long time. there was a gap there of us just right. not, there you was, know, Anne Jillian isn't going to cut it. We need somebody who can kick some ass.
Right. Right. We just do all the best we could do was Murphy Brown.
That's and, right. That's right. You are correct.
I think Murphy Brown came in between Xena and then Xena was like, and Murphy Brown used her face. Murphy Brown, Candace Bergen just used her mouth and just eviscerated dudes. And it was outstanding.
And we also had Julia Sugarbaker on Designing Women.
Because
I
women
still
help.
Watch those clips where she, you know, at the end of every episode, she reads somebody for trash with that Southern accent. And it's that's the part of the show you're waiting on. And what a great formula. Let's just let Dixie Carter rant at the end of every episode. Fuck yes, I'm in. You had me at hello.
I'm on board. I know it was, and it's so interesting. One of the reasons why Golden Girls wasn't my jam was because I always, you know, when I was a kid, and this is feminism was like a dirty word. You didn't want to call yourself a feminist. My mother-in-law 2 days ago said, you know, I don't like the word lesbian because she's a lesbian. And, and I said, that's because you were told that it was a bad word. That it was kind of gross. It was kind of creepy.
I also don't like the word. I prefer just gay.
That's what she said.
I don't have a problem with gay. I think because gay means happy and lesbian.
That's exactly what she said.
It's the sound of the words, though. Yeah. You get it. Lesbian, right? It's why the word fart is funny. It's quick and it's got those two good consonants. Right? Fart. It's fucking funny. But lesbian sounds salacious. It doesn't sound good.
Gay just sounds
gay
like
better. I'm gay.
Gay sounds. I'm gay. It also, as my sister told me when she told me she was gay, she's like, I'm just gay. It's just part. It's not my entire personality.
Exactly.
It's just part of me. It's not everything to do with what the fuck I am.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
I was not
a fan of the Golden Girls. I'm going to lose my gay card for this. I was not a fan of the Golden Girls that much either, but I watched it every week because it came on right after Empty Nest, which starred Christy McNichol. You see what we're doing? I had to watch
was
all
Christy
the lesbians
McNichol
on TV.
One day at
and
a time?
I thought Bea Arthur was gay too. No, she was not. Christy McNichol. Okay. That was Valerie Bertinelli and Mackenzie Phillips.
Mackenzie Phillips, and I get her Mackenzie Phillips mixed up with Christy McNichol.
As you should. They have very similar faces.
Are they just sort of dark hair and
dark hair and that sort of
and
squarish,
tall and thin
and boyish? I mean, Mackenzie Phillips has a good tomboy energy about her.
Mackenzie Phillips, who, Blair, what's her face? And the TV show,
Lisa Welch. She played Blair on Facts of Life.
Facts of Life. I used to love Facts of Life.
I adore Mindy Cohn to this day. We are friends. I met her when I was 15 years old.
In real life.
I went to speech camp at Loyola Marymount where she was attending college, and we were like,
right,
she was going to summer school and I was there at a summer camp, and we were both in the cafeteria at the same time, and I was like, I think that's Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life. And my friend was like, leave her alone. And I was like, absolutely not. And so I went right up to her table and I was like, you're Mindy Cohn. And she was like, I am. And I was actually said Mindy Cohn, and she corrected me and said Cohn. And I was
there,
like,
you go.
Girl, I have back in my dorm room, I have the hat with the lightning bolt that goes to this. Like, I love you. You're the only fat person on TV. I said that out loud to her. And she was like, thank you. Thank you for coming up to me and whatever. And Never saw her again. Cut to, I was doing a Don't Tell My Mother show here in Los Angeles, and she's on the show with me. And I went up to her, and she was like, oh, I think you're so funny. Nikki showed me some of your videos. And so I had seen you, and I was like, oh my God, girl, we met. Let me tell you where. And she goes, I remember that. That was such a weird thing because she had just gotten
weird,
to
random
college.
Thing.
Yeah. And so, and she remembers me coming up to her, and I was like, girl, you don't have to say you remember it if you don't. She goes, I swear I do. You told me you had the hat. And I was like, oh, I did. I told you I had the hat. This is so good. And so she and I stayed friends, and we talked to each other every once in a while on the Facebooks and
the
Instagrammies.
So
and we have done a couple of shows together since. And then I met Lisa Welchel, the one that played Blair, on a shuttle at LAX to the rental cars.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I was like, girl, I am having a week. I just did a show with Mindy Cohn. I said, I have an interview on a podcast with Kim Fields. And now here you are on a bus. I said, somebody needs to call Joe and tell her she's next. Nancy McKeon is about to get a visit from Jen Kober. And P.S., she's the only one I wanted to see. The lesbian.
Right, right. It was Anne, the most tomboy of the bunch. So
yeah. So that's the one
I loved her the best. Yeah. She was the one I liked. And it was never, and it's so interesting because like those women like made it possible for me to have role models when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's so important. It's like people of color not getting to see, you're just like, oh, there's one black guy.
I hope
I like him. I hope I like her.
Yeah. My little godchild is black, and her face when she saw Little Mermaid, like she's six, right? So when she saw a black girl as the Little Mermaid, like she's seen the other Little Mermaid a million fucking times.
Right. And she loved it, and it's fine.
But when she saw that, girl, I had to buy her some little fins. I had to get her the wig. And I didn't get it because her parents are white.
Right.
They adopted this beautiful little girl. And so when I saw her have that reaction, it really hit me like what it is to see yourself in someone else.
We all live in our own little fishbowl. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard. You have to literally poke your head out of the water to see in somebody else's fucking fishbowl.
Yeah.
And when it happens, it literally is like it's genuinely like an onion. And I learn new racism, and I learn new sexism, and I learn new isms.
Right.
And I learn, and in many ways, I learn about new hope too.
Right.
Because if I can be taught, that anybody can be taught. You know, I used to do that joke with that weird...
Not my mother, but anyone else.
Right. There's some people who cannot be. Yeah.
She has, you know, been going on these gay cruises with me that I've been booking.
So, oh, really?
On trips, you know, I was single, so I was just taking my mother. Now I have a person, and I take her and my mother. But I was just traveling with my mother a lot, you know, and it would be me, my mom, and 5,000 gay men. You know, lesbians don't go on these cruises with all these men all the time. And so she, you know, and I said, and in my show one night, I said, you know, my mom voted for Trump, and honey, they booed. And my mother stood up in the crowd and goes, I didn't know better. I do now. And sat back down. And I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die laughing.
Yeah.
Because she was like, why would you tell them that? I go, it's true. I was making a joke about it. Like, that's what, you know, that's why it was funny. And then when you did that,
you shouldn't have voted.
10 times funnier.
It was the perfect response.
Right.
Perfect.
And now.
It means she can be taught. Nope.
Yes, but it does. But still today, you know, he's on trial and she's like, this is just ridiculous. We didn't try Hunter Biden, but like she still goes to that rhetoric of the sort of Fox News and Facebook are telling her because of what her algorithm must be.
Right. So, her algorithm seems to be super tight.
Yes. It's very right. Like she'll call me and tell me these, you know what they found on her in her emails, huh? And I'm like, oh my God, she's not even in office anywhere. Stop. You know what they should have built that wall out of? Her emails, because nobody can get over those. Nobody can get over them.
Ugh. I tell everybody what my father said about Hillary Clinton. I said, for some reason, and I would never, I don't know why the fuck I asked him who he was going to vote for. And he goes, Clinton, I'm going to vote for Clinton. She's not hot, but she's overqualified. And I was like, I will take it, Dad. I will fucking take it.
Wow. I mean, wow.
And I was and why does a 72-year-old lady have to be hot? He was like, I'm hot. I'm 80. And I'm like, wrong, incorrect, not true.
Just, well, you know, I don't, truthfully, I wish we could just wipe them all out and start clean. Let's
right,
get
but we
some,
can't.
We can't.
I mean, the and thing is that there's, we got to deal
so
with the hand we're dealt. Right. And if we burn it to the ground and rebuild it, it's going to be a decade or 15 years of unrest. So what we have to do, and I'm not saying that there's no place for protest, that there's no place for civil war, that there's no place for confrontation. I'm saying there's no place for let's light the Constitution on fire and try to rewrite it as a chicken soup for the soul.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Agreed.
It's
agreed.
Because as a middle-aged white straight lady, I could probably still get lunch when it comes to a civil war. And so the people that are going to suffer are the people that are already suffering.
I agree.
So it's just going to get worse. So
I agree.
We just got to fight the bad guys in the streets. That's
like
all.
Wonder Woman. Where
like
are
Wonder
you?
Woman.
We need you today.
I don't know, but we're at like 45 minutes. But the thing about Wonder Woman is she is inspirational to all of this
stuff. Oh my God. She like the fact that there was nothing she couldn't do. There was never, well, just when you thought, I mean, it's like she was, just when you thought this is it, they've got her. She's tied up. They've taken her cuffs off of her. She's got this, that, the other. The bitch figured it out. She figured it out and she defeated them every time.
Every time.
Every single time.
Right. And every time she stood up to them, I was like, yes, I can do this. You can do this. We can. I mean, it was so freaking inspirational that it was absurd. Right. And, hi, Brooke.
Somebody's at the door. We're getting we just moved into a new place and our air conditioner in one of the bedrooms. It blows
went
air,
the way
but
of
it's
all
not
things.
Cold air.
It turns out the conditioning that you'd like the air to be in is cooler.
Yes.
slightly cooler.
As a big superhero, I need.
Right. By the way, Ranger's talking to Jen Kober here. Kober is K-O-B-E-R. It's at Jen Kober.
It's like
JenKober.com.
But with a K.
It's sober with a K for ketamine. Yeah. Wait, what just happened? Netflix is a joke May 9th here in Los Angeles on the road monumentally. So figure that out. See the dates. Follow all the places at Jen Kober or JenKober.com.
And I just got a little recurring part on Sebastian Maniscalco's show Bookie on HBO Max.
Bookie?
I'm going to be playing
HBO
a
Max.
Lesbian. So.
Excellent.
Digging deep into my well of subtext and all of my Uta Hagen, all of my acting.
I've met Sebastian Manicotti a couple of times.
Yeah.
He doesn't get me on the television. It's fine. Any minute now.
I feel like I worked with him like maybe a couple of times when I first got out here, but I've never had any interaction with him. He's funny.
Well, he's really nice and he's really funny.
He's
so
super funny.
But I will say that he's living sort of a weird old school 1990s kind of stand-up life where he kind of blew up and then he's Drew Carey. That hasn't happened since 95.
Yeah.
So good for you, Sebastian. Make
Agreed.
It happen, brother.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I watched a couple of his specials and I was like, "Oh my God." I mean, from beginning to end, it's really funny. A lot of times when people have such a strong personality like that, like he's the guy, he's the Italian,
right? Italian guy, yeah,
New York-y, right? Like that's his vibe, that's his gig. And usually, when people have that strong of a stage presence, sometimes I'm like, I love this. for like 10 or 15 minutes, but right. an hour of it, I'm like, okay, right? But he was really funny beginning to end. I was very impressed.
I saw his long set. I saw him do a headline set at the Cobbs in San Francisco, probably 7-8 years ago. And I was put off by that sort of Goomba kind of Italian New York. We're doing Jersey. We're doing this thing. And then he did, it had to be like an 8 to 12 minute bit about how much he loved his wife. And I was like, oh, hello. It turns out.
Yeah.
It's sort of like when Rachel Feinstein talks about her husband, the firefighter.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, look at this. Yes. It's just a weird accent, Jackie.
And you know what? Sometimes that's how I was with Leanne Morgan, because I adore her. I could listen to her read the phone book because I love that accent so much. And I was like, but maybe it's just because I love her accent. And I'm like, no, I watched her from beginning to end. She is funny. Now, what's funny? I feel like if you read her act, you'd be like, there's some punchlines in there. What's funny is how she talks and how she says things.
The whole package.
Yes. Yeah. Now I realize it really is the whole package. There are laughs she gets because of the way she says stuff. And then there are laughs she gets because what she is saying is funny. And that's, I adore that. I adore that about her. And I could literally.
You know what that is? That's all the different kinds of stand up in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what stand up is. It's just, it's what it is. So cool. Yeah. I don't know what this dorkdom is going to be called. Sort of just like powerful women of the 70s.
Wonder women. Wonder women.
Maybe I'll just do Wonder Women. It's the I wonder if you would like whoever is doing the art on this new Tom King run, though, because I do. And then do I have a Wonder Woman Hero Clicks? I think I do.
You had a Supergirl jacket on the last time I saw you, I think.
No, I have a Black Widow jacket and I have a Captain Marvel. So, what I got here is I have a Wonder Woman Hot Wheel.
Oh, look what I have. I have a statue.
Oh, hello.
She's got a little rainbow talisman.
Oh, she got the rainbow. She's holding the rainbow.
I got, somebody gave me a present for my birthday with this rainbow ribbon on it. So I just wanted to save it. So I put it around her like a little talisman. Yeah, and then I got this cute little pride flag, because now we've really taken all of the colors. We got the pastels are even coming in. And so I got that at a pride event. So I have her holding the thing now. So
that's cool. Here's the thing. This is the Captain Marvel car. One.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it
that's
is.
A good one.
Captain Marvel always looks like Wonder Woman to me.
Right. And, I will say, and then here's a, Cruella De Vil, Hot Wheel. Pretty cool. And here's the thing is there's always some talk about how, the Captain, like they didn't pick up the third Captain Marvel movie because they didn't like the boys didn't like the first two. And I'm like, they were made for you. Turns out.
Yeah.
They were made precisely and exactly for me. And I own it.
A lot of boys felt duped because they thought Captain Marvel was a boy.
And he was initially, and then, but not since the 70s. So slow your roll, brothers. It's, I mean, you got.
But they were like, they tricked us. I'm like, really? They tricked you? Like, shut up. Are you kidding me right
there's
now?
There's no tricking. There's no tricking. No. And it's, but I really liked it. And I really like Ms. Marvel because the Ms. Marvel, she's Pakistani. And
We should do the Marvelous Mrs. Marvel.
Marvelous Mrs. Marvel.
she becomes a stand-up comedian. That's her super.
She is from Jersey and she is she's a teenage superhero. She's in the Champions and she just has so much, you know, sometimes I don't know. Did you ever see the TV show Supergirl? The new Supergirl? Because I thought
Helen Slater? Was that Helen Slater? No. Helen Slater just played Supergirl in something.
Right. And then who was Ally McBeal?
Callista Flockhart.
Callista Flockhart is in the first three seasons of Supergirl. And those are the best seasons.
Is she Supergirl?
No, she's Supergirl's boss. And she's epic in it. She's so good. And then they moved the filming to Vancouver. And Calista Flockhart was like, no, I'm married to the very old Harrison Ford and must stay in case he needs me. And then
You can't leave Han Solo.
You can't leave Han Solo to his own devices. He'll probably just marry somebody else who's 30 years younger than
exactly.
him. But aw, shucks. But the but I will say that so there was sort of a rebuilding year in Vancouver. And then I understand the last couple of seasons were great, but I missed and Superman gets introduced into it too, which is her cousin. The Supergirl show was the first three seasons are so smart and just super powerful, but she's like another hot blonde lady.
Yeah.
And that was the great thing about Linda Carter.
Well, I think we have to, if we're going to talk strong women of the 70s, we have to pull in Princess Leia. I mean, that was a big pull for little girls to see that. She wasn't just a princess. She really fought. She had those
right.
For hair. And,
right. And she had a blaster and she was,
she kicked some ass.
She kicked some ass and took some names. There was a little, they pulled the teeth on her in Empire.
Right.
In the first movie, New Hope, she was so great. And then in all of the stuff right before Carrie Fisher died, and of course, all of the hologram stuff they're doing with her now, she's super great.
Well, because the next movie was going to be Leia's movie.
Yeah.
After the Han Solo movie, it was going to be Leia's movie. And then.
Yeah, when Iger was the head of Disney before,
right?
He kept pushing back the Black Widow movie. The Black Widow movie kept pushing it. He leaves. They do the Black Widow movie. It does very well, and it was fucking awesome. And then Iger comes back, and now Marvel's is canceled again. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I think that he just doesn't like women very much. But he's like, oh, there's no money in it. And you're like, there would be, much like as if you. If Helium brought me back regularly, I might build a. Anyway,
yeah. oh, that made my heart happy to hear that. Finally, somebody.
It's fine. It's fine. I'm gonna do stand-up comedy anyway. Yeah. But I will say that you make me want to watch those two first seasons because I love a World War II. I love a World War II and I love a Wonder Woman. And Linda Carter is always so, she feels like a whole person, right?
Lawless. I mean,
she has that weird job. Isn't she a teacher? No, is that Bionic Woman was a teacher?
Yeah, she was a reporter, I believe.
I think Linda Carter's Wonder Woman was Diana Prince reporter.
Yes,
that's right.
I believe.
Yes. And I am on board with whatever that could be. And I bet you it's streaming. I'm just, I might actually.
I mean, I do have to give kudos that Gal Gadot was a wonderful Wonder Woman. She was very statuesque, very strong. She's got that
super
good,
strong.
She's Israeli. So she's just like,
break it in half and count the rings.
There was a very Laura Croft Tomb Raider feel to her, which I enjoyed because I also thought Angelina Jolie could have played that part, but Angelina Jolie has too much shit around her.
She would have pulled everybody out of it.
Yes. And I thought Gal Gadot was such a great choice. I think she's fantastic and wonderful. But Linda Carter will always be Wonder Woman to me.
That's why
I screamed, do the spin. Like I couldn't stop myself. I was
right. A little bit of Tourette's right in the middle of the
overcome.
By a need. And then she fulfilled it. It's, the thing is it's just saying that, if it happens all the time, she probably hates it, but
I had the Wonder Woman tattoo on, right? Mm-hmm. And I was there to see Wonder Woman sing. So I was wearing a little suit and tie, but I wanted her to see my tattoo. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so I was like, I have something I want you to see. And I just start taking off my shirt and the look on her face, because I don't think she knew what was about to happen, right? I had on a t-shirt underneath and I just lifted up my sleeve. But at first, it's just this very butch woman taking off her shirt in front of her in the meet and greet line, So, and she took a picture of my tattoo and put it on her Twitter. And let me tell you, I could have died right then and I'd have been happy.
Amazing.
It was
amazing.
The greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Right. It's just, it's so cool. I came real close. I saw Frances McDormand once at lunch.
I almost walked up to her. I thought it was a homeless woman, and turned out it was Frances McDormand.
Barney Greengrass up in the Upper West Side in New York. And I was like, I almost got up, and my friend from college, Jenny Bergman, just goes, hold on. She's trying to have some breakfast. She's just trying to eat breakfast, Jackie.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Like, at least you were at a show where she was a public figure.
I cannot stop myself from sharing with people if I recognize them. I wish I was that person. I wish I could just be like, I had a little girl come up to me. We were eating lunch at Porto's, my very favorite Cuban sandwich is there. And so I'm at Porto's and I'm eating my Cuban sandwich. And a little 8-year-old girl comes up to me. I mean, she couldn't have been older than that. And she goes, excuse me, can I ask you a question? And immediately I'm like, ah, fuck, what's written on my t-shirt? What have I done wrong? And she goes, were you on The Mandalorian? And I was
yes.
And she goes, I knew it. I told my dad that was you. And her dad's like, 8 feet away, like waving. And I'm like, thank you. What's your name? And she was like, Alessandra. And I was like, thank you for recognizing me, Alessandra. You made my whole day. This sandwich is going to taste better because of you, little girl. Thank you.
Exactly.
So I always think that even though they must think, oh God, it's not like you got into this business to not be recognized. So it's just going to have to deal with my gushing over you. I'm not going to be an asshole. I'm not going to be like, can I take a picture or can I get your autograph? I'm not that person. But you have to know that, like, I know who you are and you affected me. Like, if I ever meet anyone that was on Sesame Street, they're fucked. I'm going to lose my shit if I ever see any of the people that were on that show.
Big Bird goes to Mambo's. It's a Cuban restaurant on Victory further east. It's delicious.
I want it.
Yes. And their Cuban sandwich actually isn't as good as Porto's, but Ipapa Que Rico has a better Cuban sandwich than Porto's, but the pulled pork at Mambo's is amazing with plantains.
We're gonna switch this up because I had a burrito from Bread and Breakfast, which you recommended.
What
changed my life?
Yeah, I'm wearing the hat, you guys.
My God, that was so. And they delivered.
Did you have
it
a pastrama? Oh, did you?
No,
get
I had the carne. I had the carne asada.
You just went carne asada.
Yeah.
If you try the sojuk or the bastarma, those are two Armenian kind of sausages. The sojuk is sausage. The bastarma is sort of like a prosciutto, but garlickier.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it was dried, and so I was like, it's gonna be like jerky. That was my thought.
It can be, okay, but it isn't. I think the sojuk is dried, but the bastarma, I think they do the fresh, more prosciutto kind of consistency.
Done and done. You had me.
This was all over the place. Jen Kober. This has been a super fun episode of The Dork Forest. Thank you so much for doing The Dork Forest.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I hope that you got to talk about things you wanted to talk about.
I did.
Because that is the kind of thing that happens sometimes on The Dork Forest. I get into it.
I'm the same way on mine. I'm like, so you're doing mine.
Right. We're going to record it 2 days after this comes out. And then will it come out pretty quick too?
Yes. Well.
And what's it called?
It's called Bitchin' Over Biscuits.
All right.
So I have to tell you this. You need to have a biscuit to eat. If you don't have a biscuit to eat, talk about a biscuit and send me a picture of a random biscuit, whatever. But
my mother-in-law, who is from Mississippi, would love to make some fucking biscuits.
That's what my lady does. She makes a biscuit for me every week. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing. I always marry a Southern woman. So biscuits. So we take a picture of the biscuits. You send me the picture. We put that up on the Instagram. You are going to be episode 4 and episode 1 airs on the 14th. So your episode probably won't air for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Just because we're doing it in June ahead of time. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So on June, I'm going to be on Bitchin' with Biscuits.
That's
with
right.
Jen Kober.
Bitchin' Over and Biscuits. B.O.B. Bitchin'. The B.O.B. podcast.
Oh, B.O.B. Aw, be right back. That's an R. So this has been amazing. Everyone go find Jen Kober and watch her do stand-up comedy because it's a delight. And do Pandora, do Spotify, do all the things. And thank you so much. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
Well, it was fun. And I've already talked to you about it a little bit. And I have to beware. Beware, I tell you, because these bonuses are of value.
And are they thus, of value?
They're of value. This is to sit with Andy Ashcraft and discuss the Hour of Dork Force that I did is of value to me, and I think to our fans, to the Rangers. It was with Jen Kober.
Okay.
Jen Kober, stand-up comic. Very funny. At Jen Kober. K-O-B-E-R. And a couple things. First of all, it ended up just being more about Wonder Women. Initially, it was Wonder Woman, and she has a tattoo of that artist that I told you. John Byrne. There we go.
Yeah, that very famous she has that. 80s artist. He was super famous in the late 70s, early 80s.
He drew her as a badass. She was a badass. He did a nice job. You said, let's reminisce about me talking to you about this earlier this weekend.
Oh, yes.
it was, you said he also drew like She-Hulk and stuff. So
Yep. He made She-Hulk sort of what she is.
Definitive?
Yep.
Okay.
A kind of definitive She-Hulk. He's the first person to take She-Hulk and have her sort of be a little bit more meta, self-aware.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting what the art can do for a comic.
Well, he was also a writer too. He started as an artist and then ended up writing as well.
Okay.
And a bunch of comics that he both wrote and drew at the same time.
Oh wow. Did he do that for Marvel?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And DC?
Mostly for Marvel.
Yeah? Okay. Wow. Fascinating. Okay. Oh, so we talked about that and then we talked about Linda Carter.
Oh yes.
Because Wonder Woman was her favorite show and it was the Linda Carter one.
Oh, right. And, sure.
Yeah. And it just essentially...
What's not to like?
What isn't to like? There's nothing to not like. Linda Carter's pretty cool still.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah very much.
And then we sort of went through a lot of like sort of the facts of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the...
That's Gilmore a big... Girl. There's a big... I guess you're just talking about 70s TV shows.
Well, in the end, it was just it became like sort of women that were role models.
Oh, okay.
And like the Bionic Woman, but they were all 70s and early 80s TV shows.
Right, right. Her formative years, presumably.
Right, right. Designing women. I mean, she grew up in Louisiana.
Oh,
so
right.
So she had it to do. Right. She had to. And
she needed this.
She did need it, and she said it's. And she is a gay lady. So it was her first time where she was like, oh, well, women can be this. And then look how pretty that woman is.
Oh,
that
right.
kind of thing. So it's also that. So it was kind of cool. It was a great episode. It was really super fun.
Yeah. It sounds great.
And I think I might expand. I wouldn't mind watching at least the first season of Wonder Woman just to sort of remind myself. See if it holds up.
Right. I don't know if it's going to. But, it was pretty kitschy at the time.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, I remember watching the old Batmans and going, okay, I have to find a way to I have to find the path in.
Right.
Which is a childhood kind of love.
Yes.
To love the old Batmans.
Yes, very much. And Wonder Woman and Bionic Man and Bionic Woman. They were all very much the same structure, right?
Right, right.
The Hulk of the time, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they turned it into that thing, that religious thing with what's-his-name where he walked into town, touched by an angel. That wasn't the name of it, was it?
I don't think so.
That was a woman. I think the woman was touching, was the angel who touched people.
No, I think you're right. I think he was the angel.
In Touched by an Angel?
Yeah. wasn't.
Well, let's leave it on a cliffhanger, Andy.
we are so far off topic.
So, Rangers, I hope you enjoyed the show and tune in next week. It's going to be super fun. And you remember the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?